it hot in here.
And now for something completely different. And now for something more completely different.
It's...
Monty Python, the Flying Circus.
Mr. Belford. Oh, Mr. Belford, your legs are so swollen.
Excuse me. I saw your advertisement for flying lessons, and I'd like to make an application.
Nothing to do with me. I'm not in this show.
Do you know about flying lessons?
No, nothing to do with me. I'm not in this show. This is show five. I'm not in until show eight.
Oh, I see.
I'm just learning my lines, you know?
Mr. Belpit, you're late.
A bit awkward, huh?
Yes.
I'm a bit stuck.
Well, try over there.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Belpit. Oh, Mr. Belpit, you're so swollen. Oh, but Mr. Belpit, you're late.
Excuse me. I saw your advertisement for flying lessons, and I'd like to make an application.
Appointment?
Yes.
Certainly. Could you come this way, please?
Morning, love.
Take some marketing, would you?
Just follow me. Oh, be careful.
Only tripped.
Be there, Susan.
It's a long way, isn't it?
Good. Oh, what's that? Watch it. Morning. There it is. Oh, up the stairs. Be careful, very steep. Almost there.
Morning.
Morning. Will you come this way, please? In here, please.
Oh, thank you. Hello, I saw your advertisement for flying lessons, and I'd like to make an appointment.
Well, Mr. Lenham is on the phone at the moment, but I'm sure he won't mind if you go on in. Through here.
Thank you. I won't be a moment. Make yourself at home. No, well, look, you can ask Mr. Maudling, but I'm sure he'll never agree. Not for 50 shillings, no. No. But bye-bye, Gordon. Bye-bye.
Dear.
Bye-bye. Now, Mr. Chigger, so you want to learn to fly?
Yes.
Right, well, up on the table, arms out, fingers together, knees bent.
No.
Up on the table! Arms out, fingers together, knees bent. Now, head well forward. Now, flap your arms. Go on, flap faster. Faster. Now, jump! Rotten, you're no bloody use at all. You're an utter bloody washout. You make me sick, you weed.
Now, look here.
All right, I'll give you one more chance. Get on the table.
Look, I came here to learn how to fly an aeroplane.
A what?
Came here to learn how to fly an aeroplane.
Ooh, an aeroplane. Oh, I say, we are grand, aren't we? Oh, no more buttered scones for me, mater. I'm off to play the grand piano. Pardon me while I fly my aeroplane. Now get on the table!
No, in the history of the world has ever been able to fly like that.
Oh, I suppose Mater told you that while you were out riding. Well, if people can't fly, what am I doing up here?
You're on a wire.
Oh, a wire. I'm on a wire, am I?
Of course you're on a bloody wire.
I am not on a wire. I am flying.
You're on a wire.
I am flying.
You're on a wire.
I'll show you whether I'm on a wire or not. Give me the oop. Oh, I don't suppose we know what an oop is. I suppose Pater thought they were a bit common, except on the bleeding croquet lawn.
Oh,
and hoop. Thank you, bleeding Inus. Now.
Come right the way along.
All right. There. Now, where's the bleeding one?
That hoop's got a hole in.
Oh, Eton and Magdalen, the hoop has an hole in. Of course it's got a hole in. It wouldn't be a hoop otherwise, would it, Mosh?
There's a gap in the middle of that.
Oh! Oh, a gop in one swoop. Pardon me, but I'm off to play the grand piano.
Look, I can see you on a wire. Look, there it is.
Look, I told you, you bastard, I'm not on a wire.
Oh, there is.
There isn't.
Anyway, this rather pointless bickering went on for some time, until...
Gosh, I am glad I'm a fully qualified airline pilot.
The British Airline Pilots Association would like to point out that it takes a chap 6 years to become a fully qualified airline pilot, and not two. Thank you. I didn't want to seem a bit of an old fusspot just now, you know, but it's just as easy to get these things right as they are easily found in the Balper Handbook. Oh, one other thing. In the Sherlock Holmes last week, Tommy Cooper told a joke about a charter flight, omitting to point out that one must be a member of any organisation that charters a plane for at least 6 months beforehand before being able to take advantage of it. Did rather spoil the joke for me, I'm afraid. Yes? Oh, yes. My wife has just reminded me that on a recent High Chaparral, Kathy Kirby was singing glibly about Fly Me to the Stars, when, of course, there are no scheduled flights of this kind, or even charter, available to the general public at the present moment. Although, of course, when there are, Balper will be in the Vanguard. Or the Trident. Little joke for the chaps up at Balper House. One other small point. Why is it that these new Lurex dancing tights go baggy at the knees after only a couple of evenings' fun? Bring back the old canvas ones, I say. It is incredible, isn't it, that in these days when man can walk on the moon and work out the most complicated hire purchase agreements, I still get these terrible headaches. All right, I seem to have wandered a bit, but still, no harm done. Jolly good luck.
I could have been there all day. Other people want to go, you know. Cool chap, if you ask me.
Ah, that's better. Oh, my God. I'm terribly sorry. I thought this was a ballet toilet.
This is the control cabin.
Oh, I know that. I'm a flying man, you know. Yes. Ballet's stupid mistake.
Clouds heavy. What's the reading?
4.8 steady.
If you had all these dials in the toilet, there wouldn't be room for anything else, would there?
Hello, Geneva. This is Roger 5-0. What's your cloud reading? Hello, Geneva.
I wouldn't fancy flying one of these sitting on the toilet. I mean, it'd take the glamour out of being a pilot, wouldn't it? Flying around the world sitting on a toilet.
Geneva here. 4.9. Heavy. Over.
Serious?
No, not if it keeps at that level.
Mind you, if you did fly it from the toilet, it'd leave a lot more space up here, wouldn't it? Well, I better get back to the cabin then. Sorry about the silly intrusion. Bally stupid. Door's jammed.
Fairly piece of luck.
Oh, hello. Everything all right at the back?
Yes, they're quite dormice.
Dormice?
All right. Don't anybody move. Except to control the aeroplane. You can move a little to do that.
Can I move?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, you can move a little bit. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to be quite so dogmatic when I came in. Obviously, you can all move a little within reason. You know, there are certain involuntary muscular movements that no amount of self-control can prevent. And obviously, any assertion of authority on my part, I've got to take that into account.
Right, I mean, one couldn't, for example, stop one's insides from moving.
No, no, right? Good point, good point.
I mean, the very fact that the plane is continuously vibrating means that we're all moving to a certain extent.
And we're all moving our lips, aren't we?
Yes, 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 absolutely.
No, the gist of my meaning was that sudden,
exaggerated movements.
Exaggerated, violent movements are out.
Well, that's the great thing about these modern airliners. I mean, I can keep this plane flying without even the smallest movement. And Pancho here doesn't have to move at all.
that's marvellous.
Oh, and I don't really need to move either. Unless I get an itch or something.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful. 60% success, eh? Anyway, bearing all that in mind, will you fly this plane to Luton, please?
Well, this is a scheduled flight to Cuba.
I know. That's rather why I came in here, with that point about nobody moving.
Within reason.
Yes. You know, I want you to fly this plane to Luton, please.
Right, well, I'd better turn the plane around then. Stand by, emergency systems.
Look, I don't want to cause any trouble.
No, we'll manage.
I mean, near Luton will do, you know. Harpenden, do you go near Harpenden?
It's on the flight path.
Okay, well, drop me off there. Really? I'll get a bus to Luton. Oh. They're only for 25 minutes.
You could be in Luton by lunchtime.
Oh, well, that's smashing.
Hang on, there's no airport at Harpenden.
Oh, well, look, forget it. I'll come to Cuba and get a flight back to Luton from there.
Well, we could lend you a parachute.
No. Wouldn't dream of it. Dirty a nice, clean parachute.
I know. There's a bale of hay outside Basingstoke.
Right.
We could throw you out.
Well, it's all right.
Sure, yeah.
It's not any trouble?
No.
Well, marvellous. Thank you very much. Sorry to come barging in.
No, fine.
Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye. Yes. Bye-bye.
Take this bus to Cuba. From these glens and scars, the sound of the coot and the moorhen is seldom absent. Nature sits in stern mastery over these rocks and crags. The rush of the mountain stream, the bleat of the sheep, and the broad, clear highland skies, reflected in tarn and loch, form the breathtaking backdrop against which Ewan McTeagle writes such poems as Lend Us a Quid to the But it was with more simple, homespun verses that McTeagle's unique style first flowered.
If he could see a way to lending me sixpence, I could at least buy a newspaper. That's not much to ask anyone.
One woman who remembers McTeagle is a young friend, Lassie O'Shea.
Oh, Mr. McTeagle wrote me two poems between the months of January and April 1969.
Could you read us one?
Okay, I didn't like to. They were kind of personal, but I will. To my own beloved lassie, a poem on her 17th birthday. Lend us a couple of bob till Thursday. I'm absolutely skint, but I'm expecting a postal order, and I can pay you back as soon as it comes. Love, Ewan.
Beautiful.
Since then, McTeagle has developed and widened his literary scope. 3 years ago, he concerned himself with quite small sums, quick bits of ready cash, sixpences, shillings. But more recently, he has turned his extraordinary literary perception to much larger sums. 15 shillings, £4, 12 and 6, even 9 guineas. But there is still nothing to match the huge sweep, the majestic power of what is surely his greatest work. Can I have £50 to mend the shed?
Can I have £50 to mend the shed? I'm right on my uppers. I can pay you back when this postal order comes from Australia. Honestly. Hope the bladder trouble's getting better. Love. UN.
There seems to be no end to McTeagle's poetic invention. My new checkbook hasn't arrived, was followed up by the brilliantly allegorical What's 20 quid to the bloody Midland Bank? And here is his prize-winning poem to the Arts Council. Can you lend me £1,000?
I think what McTeagle's poetry is doing is rejecting all the traditional clichés of modern pottery. No longer do we have to be content with Keats's Seasons of Mismal Fruitfulness, Wordsworth's A Wandered Lonely as a Cloud, and Milton's Can You Lend This Two Bob Till Tuesday?
Oh, get me a shilling for some fags, and I'll pay you back on Thursday. But if you can wait till Saturday, I'm expecting a divvy from the Harpenden Building Society. It's not much for anybody's two bob asking. Working fingers to the bone. Sure, I'd leave it not. Let him draw on him two bob is showing.
As Zapier, I'd like to complain about some inaccuracies in the preceding film about the poet Ewan McTeagle. Although his name was quite clearly given as McTeagle, he was throughout wearing the Cameron tartan. Also, I would like to point out that the Balpa spokesman who complained about aeronautical inaccuracies was himself wearing a captain's hat, whereas he only had lieutenant stripes on the sleeves of his jacket. Also, in the Inverness pantomime last Christmas, the part of Puss in Boots was played by a native of New Guinea with a plate in her lip, so that every time Dick Whittington gave her a French kiss, he got the back of his throat scraped.
Look, would you mind going away? I'm trying to examine this man. It's all right. I am a doctor. Actually, I'm a gynecologist, but this is my lunch hour.
I have a nasty feeling I am somebody's lunch hour.
Actually, I find violence extremely distasteful. Well, it was the only part offered, and I need the work.
Pettigate, Pettigate, Baker's man. Good morning, madam. I'm a psychiatrist.
You look like a milkman to me.
Good. I'm in fact dressed as a milkman. You spotted that. Well done.
Go away.
Now then, madam, I'm going to show you three numbers, and I want you to tell me if you see any similarity between them.
They're all number three.
No, try again.
They're all number three?
No, they're all number three. Right, now, I'm going to say a word, and I want you to say the first thing that comes into your head. How many pints do you want?
Three.
Yogurt?
No.
Cream?
No.
Eggs?
No.
Right, well, you're quite clearly suffering from a repressive libido complex, probably the result of a product of an unhappy childhood coupled with acute insecurity in adolescence, which has resulted in an attenuation of the libido complex.
You are a bloody milkman!
Don't you shout at me, madam! Don't come that tone! Now then, I must ask you to accompany me down to the dairy and do some aptitude tests.
I've got better things to do than come down to the dairy.
Mrs. Ratbag, if you don't mind me saying so, you're badly in need of an expensive course of psychiatric treatment. Now, I'm not going to say a trip to our dairy will cure you, but it will give hundreds of lower-paid workers a good laugh.
All right, but how am I going to get home?
I'll run you there and back on my psychiatrist float.
All right.
What are all those?
They're case histories.
Psychiatrist! Psychiatrist! Psychiatrist!
Yes, sir?
Oh, good morning. I'm afraid our regular psychiatrist hasn't come round this morning, and I've got an ego block, which is in turn making my wife overassertive and getting us both in a state of depressive neurosis.
Oh, I see. So who's your regular, sir?
Jersey Cream psychiatrist.
Oh, yes, I know them. Right, well, what's your job, then?
I'm a doctor.
Didn't I see you just now under a Scotsman?
Yes, but I am a doctor. Actually, I'm a gynecologist, but that was my lunch hour.
What does this remind you of?
2 pints of cream.
Right. Well, I should definitely say you were suffering from severe personality disorder, sir, sublimating itself in a lactic obsession, which could get worse depending on how much money you've got.
Yes, yes, I see. And a pot of yogurt, please.
I would like to take this opportunity of complaining about the way in which these shows are continually portraying psychiatrists who make pat diagnoses of patients' problems without first obtaining their full medical history.
Mind you, that's just a pat diagnosis made without first obtaining your full medical history.
I feel the time has come to complain about people who make rash complaints without first making sure that those complaints are justified.
Are you referring to me?
Not necessarily. However, I would like to point out that the BALPA spokesman was wearing the British Psychiatric Association Dinner Dance Club cufflinks.
Yes, I noticed that too.
These are not British Psychiatric Association Dinner Dance Club cufflinks.
Sorry.
They are, in fact, a British sugar corporation, Gilbert and Sullivan Society cufflinks. It's, in fact, a sort of in-joke with us lads here at BALPA. I think the last speaker should have checked his facts before making his own rash complaint.
Yeah, that'll teach him.
However, I would just like to add a complaint about shows which have too many complaints in them, as they get very tedious for the average viewer.
I'd like to complain about people who hold things up by complaining about people complaining. It's about time something was done about it.
Will you take Mrs. Pym to see Dr. Cream, please?
Oh, serve me, Doctor. Walk this way, please.
Oh, if I could walk that way, I would...
Mrs. Pym to see you, Dr. Cream.
Ah, yes, I just want another 5 minutes with Audrey. Could you show Mrs. Pym into the waiting room, please?
Yes, Doctor.
All right, Audrey, when did you first start thinking you were...
Jeez, Mr. Belford.
Ha 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 ha!
swollen.
Oh! Oh, your legs are all swollen.
Good evening. Tonight on It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of déjà vu. That strange feeling we sometimes get that we've lived through something before. That what is happening now has already happened tonight. On It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of déjà vu. That strange feeling we sometimes get that we live... Anyway, tonight on It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of déjà vu. That strange... Good evening. Tonight on It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of déjà vu. That strange feeling we sometimes... ...get. That we've lived through something. Good evening. Tonight on It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of déjà vu. That extraordinary feeling. Quite extraordinary. No, fine, thanks, fine. Oh. Okay. That strange feeling we sometimes get that we've lived through something before. And the... No, fine, thank you, fine. Thank you. That strange feeling. No, fine, thank you, fine. Thank you. Look, something's happening to me. I think I better go and see someone. Good night.
I've seen you somewhere before.
No, Doctor, no. Something very funny is happening to me.
Ah! Oi, haven't I seen you somewhere before?
No, Doctor, no. Something very funny is happening to me.
Oh, Miss Belfit, your legs are so swollen.
Come in now. What seems to be the matter?
I have this terrible feeling of déjà vu.
Oh, come in now. What seems to be the matter?
I have this terrible feeling of déjà vu. I...
Come in now. What seems to be the matter?
I have this terrible feeling of déjà vu.